You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Job, the first two chapters. Today, we have a continuation of our studies in the secrets as revealed in the scriptures. We're going to deal with the secret of suffering so that you can understand its purpose in the things of God. Remember, we live in a day of grace. God's not mad at anybody. He's been completely reconciled. The story of Job is an old story, but it sets the tone for suffering. And ultimately, in the New Testament, we will see this purpose. Most people forget that in the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of good knowledge, of good and evil. And God said everything in that garden was what? Good. It's hard for us to realize that evil, in the sense of calamity or suffering, is good. Let that drop on you real heavy now. Paul, Job, and we look at Paul too, are prime examples, not to mention our Lord, which we'll be looking at too, of God's ultimate purpose in suffering. From time immemorial, people have thought that suffering was a punishment of some kind. It's not at all. It never was intended that way. God is not a sadist. He's not trying to get even with anybody. He's trying by his mighty arm to enlighten us. And Job is one of the first men that really depicts this and touches practically every aspect of human life. You'll remember that in the reading of the text, he was a mighty man, humanly speaking. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. In one of the discussions, he's even called a prince who had a crown. So he was somebody come to town. And not only did he have all these things, but he was a man of integrity. God challenged Satan. He said, "Have you considered this man, my servant Job? There's nobody on earth like him." Might throw the question around another way. Have you considered a little baby just born to this world, the tragedy sometimes that accompanied it? Job was no baby, but as far as his life was concerned, it was exemplary. Not only for himself, but all the people he knew, particularly his own family. He prayed constantly for his own family. You'll read that, you remember this morning. He's the last man in the world you'd think that God would choose to bring out these wonderful lessons. Not only did he deprive, you say, the devil did it. Well, that's true, but God takes the responsibility. God is responsible for suffering. Get that point straight. The devil can't touch you in these fields without permission. This is a man of God we're talking about, Job. Hast thou considered my servant, Job? There's nobody quite like him. Not only did he take his wealth away, which in 1929, I remember people were jumping out of the top of the buildings around here because they got their wealth gone. I'll never forget a parade downtown where a famous lawyer in this town jumped out of the ninth story of a building and splattered his blood right in front of us. I'll never forget that. A very famous attorney. He lost everything. Not only that, but he lost all his children. Then Satan said, "Well, we didn't touch him personally. not physically, so I want another chance at him. I said, well, there he is, just don't take his life. And boy, he hit him with everything. And finally, the one person he had he thought was his wife came to him and said, curse God and die. I don't know whether she was wore out or just felt sorry for him or what reason, I don't know. But in any case, that was about everything. And then on top of that, he hit him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He couldn't even sit down. He found a bunch of ashes to sit on so he could be comfortable. And he said he had so-called seven friends that came to him, closest people he knew. And they saw his grief was so great they didn't even open their mouth for 7 days. They just watched him. Notice that last clause in chapter 2. They sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw his grief was very great. 15 chapters, the argument goes on between him and his friends. And in chapter 6, I'm just going to hit some high places here because I want to get on away from the book of Job in a minute. Verse 2. Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the errors of the Almighty are within me. The poison thereof drinks up my spirit. Terrors of God to set themselves in array against me. Does a wild ass bray when he hath grass? What do you think I'm hollering about? Verse 6, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? You ladies that want salt diets. Any taste in the white of an egg? The thing that my soul refused to touch become my sorrow. Oh, that I might have my requests, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even it would please God to destroy me. You want to commit? You ever come to a place where you just want to die? He would loosen his hand and cut me off. Then I should have comfort. Look at chapter 10. My soul is weary of my life. I'll leave my complaint upon myself. I'll speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me. Show me. Wherefore thou contendest with me. Have you ever come to that place? Lord, here I am. Point it out to me. Let me see. So we can make a correction of this thing. Is it good? What you're doing? Is it good unto thee that thou should oppress, that thou should despise the work of your hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Do you wonder why the wicked gets shined upon? You don't. Has thou eyes of flesh? Do you see things as a man sees them? Are thy days the days of man, and thy years as a man's days? Man, I haven't got much time here. How do you expect of me in this 70? You know I'm not wicked. Verse 7. And there's nobody to get out of your hand. I know that, Lord. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Yet you want to destroy me. Notice. He's putting responsibility on God. Rightly so. God's taking responsibility too. See that? Notice in chapter 13. Look here, he said, I would like to argue my case before God. Verse 3. Surely I would speak to the Almighty. I desire to reason with God. I want to sit down and just argue out on the carpet here. We can talk about this. And he talks to his friends. He said, you're all miserable physicians of no value whatsoever. And in verse 2 of chapter 12, another conclusion. He said, all the questions they've been asking him, he said, no doubt, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. He hadn't lost his sense of direction as far as cutting is concerned. He said, I want you to know one thing, though, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Look, he never lost his integrity in all this. Chapter 9, I meant to note that too. One thing he desired, he didn't have. I want you to remember this. Verse 33. There's no daysman, that's a mediator, betwixt us, that I might lay his hand upon us both. Oh, he said, I just had a mediator to work his thing out. If I could just talk to God, I'd argue this case out. I've got a good reason. Well, after listening to all these arguments, pro and con, God steps in to give Job his answer. Verse chapter 38. There's so much, of course, I'm just passing over, but I think you're getting the gist of it. Chapter 38. God came down in a whirlwind. He called Job's attention. He said, now gird up your loins like a man, and you answer me these questions. And he goes on telling about the creation, about those that have the power of death, those that have the power of light, the care of the universe, and making provision for every creature of all his vast universes, about how that the animals look to him for food. Everything looks to him. He takes that responsibility. He said, yes, I'm responsible for all this. And here's one little case of a guy coming. get to study. He's trying to let Job see the vastness of this problem. He enumerates, I think there's 40 some odd questions here that he asked Job that the greatest minds on earth today still can't answer, because they have to do with things they don't know anything about. Even how conception and how things produce and reproduce. And he calls attention to Job, will you instruct me on how to take care of the universe? That's in chapter 40 where the Lord interrupts again. Job answered, said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? Job, are you trying to tell me how to run my business? He that reproveth God, let him answer if you can. And he's given 40 different things that God has to deal with in the universe. He said, now, I got a pretty big job, Job, and you want to instruct me how to run my universe. Is that what you're trying to do? For the first time, the light begins to come on. And keep in mind, this is a man that is 10 times taller than any of us as far as his integrity and his life is concerned. And he said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I say to you? I lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, I remember. I said, I'd like to plead my cause. I'd like to tell you about my complaint. And I've spoken once. But I'll not answer you now, twice, but I'll proceed no further. I'm shutting up. But God continues to go on. And he compares him with Leviathan, which is a creature that none of us have ever seen. Evidently, Job knew something about the history of this person, this creature. It's impossible to deal with. And one thing after another. And when he finally learned something about God, he didn't dawn on him. that Job was only one person out of all the universe that God had to deal with. Job said, I'm pretty, and the Lord's saying, in effect, after all, Job, I'm pretty busy. To meet him, come down here, explain it to you is quite a chore. Now, at long last, Job finds something now. He's just been listening. He's been hearing with the ear. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know now that you can do everything. There's no thought that can be over. He said, you've been reading my mind. I can see that. And he that hides counsel without knowledge. Therefore have I uttered that I didn't understand. Things too wonderful of me which I didn't know. Here I beseech thee, and I'll speak, I'll demand of thee, declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, all right. But now what? My eye sees you. I've got perception now that I didn't know. And I abhor myself. Repent in dust and ashes. Of course, Job had not only everything restored, but twice what he had before. But let's come to the New Testament now. We're going to get some answers to these questions besides what Job has to say. Turn to the second chapter of Corinthians. And you don't have to turn to this, but I'll call your attention to it. But when Paul was apprehended on the road to Damascus, and Ananias came to him, you remember what God said to Ananias to tell Paul? I want to show him what great things he can suffer. I don't think Paul had been listening to that. I think you can cut that out if you don't mind. But here's what some of the things Paul did go through with. Notice, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read the things he refers to. We can begin reading at verse 22, because much of these charges have been brought by his own people. And verse 22 said, are they Hebrews, the people that are making all these charges against me? Well, I am too. Are they Israelites? Well, I am too. Or the seed of Abraham, I am too. If you want to brag about these things, I'm all them things too. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. I'm going to prove it. In labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death very often. He was stoned to death once. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of the false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, wantings, watchings often, hunger and thirst. Have you ever been thirsty where you couldn't get a drink? Really couldn't get a drink? Have you ever been hungry where you couldn't really get anything to eat? In cold nakedness. Besides these things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of what? The churches. My responsibility. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who's offended and I burn not? If I must boast, I'll boast in the things which concern my own what? Weaknesses. And in chapter 12, notice, because of his high calling, because of a great revelation given to him, in verse 7 it says, lest I should be exalted above measure, to the abundance of the revelations that was given me, a thorn in the flesh. That's bad enough. But then, right along with it, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to call my attention to it constantly. If you've got some holy ground you don't want to talk about, Satan brings it up all the time. Now, notice, You'd think by the time he reached the twilight of life, he'd be satisfied with his suffering. Now notice the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10. This is almost 30 years after his conversion. That I may get to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of what? His sufferings, made conformed unto his death. Colossians, turn there. Verse 24. Chapter 1, Colossians. And now rejoice in my suffering. These people says, rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ. Chapter 2. I would that you should know what great conflict I have for you. And the Colossian letter was because to correct some of the error in that church. I've got conflict in my own heart about it, you see. Look at chapter 4, Philippians, verse 12. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Look at verse 11. Why? I've learned. Notice, I learned this. How did you learn it? You're suffering. I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith what? To be content. I know how to rise to the top. I know how to be down in the bottom. Turn now to Philippians concerning our Lord. Not Philippians, I'm sorry, Hebrews. Verse 10. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. And also in chapter 4. Chapter 2 first. Verse 10. It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into the glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect throughout sufferings. Chapter 4. Verse 15. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feet, who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like we are, yet without sin. Let in the light of that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, because we have a mediator. See, remember what day? What was it that Job wished for? A mediator. We have one. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. Boy, that time sure gets away from me. Verse 26. Now, keep this in mind the next time you come into suffering. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's psychological, you won't have to go to the psychiatrist if you remember this. Save you a lot of money. Whatever the problem is, it makes no difference. God is responsible. He's running this universe. Not anything's happening that he is not cognizant of. But like Joe Rowe, God hadn't got time to sit down and explain the running of the universe to every one of us. But he has left a record there to show what the argument is. In case you want to argue with God about this, just remember this. God's pretty busy. He's got the universe to look about. And the very thing you're complaining about is what is part of his program to bring you to be the person he wants you to be. And in the meantime, while you're suffering, verse 26, he has sent the Holy Spirit to help our weaknesses, because we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. So when you go and pray about this, you like Job of old. You'd like to argue your case, wouldn't you? You'd like to reason with God about this. just rest your case. And like Job of old, well, I haven't got an argument. I'm not going to instruct God on how he's running my life. There's so much in here I'd like to put in here, but all I can give you is a skeleton of it right now. Israel as a nation had to learn this lesson, and they still haven't learned it. They were God's chosen people. They were the apple of his eye. He had 6,000 of them once slaughtered over in Germany, and God could have cared less as far as our appearance is concerned. You think God isn't aware of these things? He's responsible. Everything. He knows about it. Notice this. He's there, he's helping, and we know what we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself, what does he do? He makes intercession for us with groanings which we can't even utter. We don't know how. Now that's why we're down here on the planet. At the same time, read on down a little bit further in verse 34. You think you're being punished for something? Because if something had happened, something you did, you see? You think you're being? It's Christ that died, is risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who what? We've got the best lawyers in the universe on our half. We don't have to argue the case. God's got all the facts. And when somebody accuses you, well, a guy's getting your desserts. No, you're not getting your desserts. You deserve hell. You're not getting your desert at all. But what he is doing, he's making out of you the creature he wants you to be. Does the potter tell the potter maker? Does the pot tell the potter maker how to make a pot? Some of you are real pots, all right. But you see, God knows what he's doing. I sure, looking at you, I couldn't tell whether he's doing a good job or not. But I know that he says he is. And I'll take him and his word for it. God is not failing. And one day, like Job, you say, I've heard about you with a ear, but now I really see. You've heard this with a ear. But it's when you see him as he is, really, in all his glory, then you say, like Paul of old, and also in Romans 8, notice how he said that. Verse 18. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, why is all this? Because in verse 28, all things, you see, all things, the thing you're bellyaching about, the thing that you're undisturbed about, God's responsible, remember this. You're just a pot. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Who's all this for? Who's all this suffering for? For good. Here's the tree of good and what? Evil. God knows what he's doing. And he's given us a court case to know exactly what he's doing. And this Job, he's the court case. And the guy at that time was complaining because he didn't have a lawyer. He had the best lawyer in the world. He didn't even know it. He was arguing his case. That was God himself with the devil and showing the devil he was wrong. That's the secret of suffering. That's what it's all about. Don't say, love me less, Lord, next time you suffer. Say, teach me. Teach me. And closing with this verse, Hebrews chapter 12. No child training for the present is joyous. But afterward, it yields what? the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are what? Exercised by it. Believe it, beloved. At your worst, when you come to the end of your tether and there's nowhere to go, look up by faith and say, thank you, Lord. Exercise me to your purposes. Father, thank you for the word and for the secret of suffering. That we may not be fools, but we'll be profitable by it. Thank you for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.